What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Porno Radio!
In today's episode, we've got some stories to talk about. In case you aren't subscribed, you definitely should do so. Subscribe down there, hit the bell to get all notifications. That way you'll always be notified and get the forever news. I got all the scoop. Definitely subscribe, hit that bell, and enjoy. Okay, people, so first on the agenda, we got the top 50 best-selling manga of the week. So we're going to be talking about that. We got the Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Can't wait. Horrible news coming out of Demon Slayer season 2. Mind you, when I say horrible, like, I'm sure every episode from this upcoming season is going to look gorgeous, and I'm sure for people that haven't watched Mugen Train, it's going to be an experience and all that jazz. However, the latest confirmation about something regarding the upcoming season, or the season that is currently airing now, is not that thrilling all around, but we're gonna get into it. Very, very disappointing news for World's End Harem, the anime that was supposed to debut this season that was already said to be very controversial. Delayed out the wazoo. We're gonna talk about it. The unfortunate passing of the composer of the Dragon Quest series. Very unfortunate stuff. We got some words from Tatsuki Fujimoto, the author of Chainsaw Man, from one of the latest works that he released, alongside Chainsaw Man catching a big W that I wanted to note because I love Chainsaw Man, and anytime it catches a W, I'm here for it. Author of Inuyasha, Rumiko Takahashi, recently took a win, getting inducted into a certain section of notoriety, so we'll be talking about that. We got the top 10 selling series for the week for manga. Great news for series like Black Clover and a few others regarding the upcoming Jump Festa. It was a little bit worrisome around these parts here, but the latest announcement is pretty good. It's pretty good, so we'll get into it. Horrible news for Wit Studio, the studio behind the first 3 seasons of Attack on Titan. They also did Vinland Saga. Things aren't sounding great, and that also confirms probably why a lot of the staff recently have said to have been moved over to a different studio to work on Vinland Saga. But we're gonna talk about it because its days could be very well numbered, and if I was a billionaire or even a 100 millionaire, I'd probably go over there and save them, but I'm not. Hey, we're gonna change that one day though. We got a recap regarding the Dragon Ball Super latest release of trailer for the upcoming film, the 2022 movie Dragon Ball Super Superhero. Yeah, very, very huge news regarding the Yashihime Princess Half Demon anime returning with season 2 and its massive premiere that, yeah, it was beating out a lot of big heavy hitters in the anime watching space. We'll talk. Pretty cool news for One Piece getting a giant statue. We'll dive more into exactly what's going on there, but that's always a really dope thing. And I'm not talking about like a figure statue. I'm talking about like, no, a statue in a town. Small but significant news regarding My Hero Academia and the upcoming issue of Shonen Jump. Big update for Ranger Reject. I'm sure there's not that many fans of Ranger Reject, but for the few of you out there that were wondering, hey, I wonder when it's going to return, I got some good news for you regarding Ranger Reject. Very unfortunate news for Fire Force fans. It's that time, people. It's that time, entering the ending of Fire Force. We'll dive more into that one. Viz Media decided to shock the world when it announced a ton of new releases that it has coming, including Naruto stuff, Death Note stuff, Yashihime Princess stuff, The Promised Neverland, a certain Rooster manga that I've joked around about the last year or so, and a ton of stuff that we're gonna dive into. We got the Shonen Jump author comments. We got the first look at Suguru Geto from Jujutsu Kaisen Zero's upcoming film. The reveal is here for the 10th anniversary celebration of Hunter x Hunter, and boy is it very disappointing. Yeah. And lastly, Mushoku Tensei, just an update as to why it was delayed a week, apparently due to animators, but in a positive way. So yeah, without further ado, people, let's jump into another exciting episode of
Porno Radio!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it.
No, no matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done.
Okay, people, let's kick things off with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, the manga volumes in particular. Rounding out number 50, Tokyo Revengers Volume 6 with another 19.3, bringing it to 1.1 million. Moving up, I see more Tokyo Revengers up in here. Kimetsu no Yaiba back on the charts with the last volume, Volume 23, and that's probably due to, you know, the hype is coming, people. Demon Slayer Season 2 has begun with the first anime original episode, and there's a bunch more Tokyo Revengers on here. Then volumes 40 or places 40 through 31. Let's see, again, a bunch more Tokyo Revengers up in here, selling about 27,000. I wonder, now that the anime is over, you know, for now at the very least, Season 1, how the volumes are going to sell moving forward. Are they going to be, like, you know, still selling high for a while, or once the anime, you know, completely is out of the way, they're going to start falling off, because they're still selling pretty freaking well, and the anime ended a couple weeks ago now, but it still could be on that high. We've got to wait another couple weeks. Then again, if people are really hooked on the manga chapters right now, because the manga right now is at the climax, it could continue to be skyrocketing, and competition is very steep right now when it comes to who's going to be the number one selling manga of the year, and a couple months left. But then volumes 30 through 21, again, a bunch of Tokyo Revengers. Giant Killing, what's that about? I don't know, that kind of looks interesting. Sold 24,000 and it's second week, I'm imagining, bringing it to 94,000. Then volumes 20 through 11. Okay, Blue Period, which I want to say that first episode dropped. I need to check that out. I'm slacking on that one. I've been checking out almost all the new seasonal anime, having a blast. But I got to check out Blue Period because I've heard great things. One Piece still on the charts. Kaiju number 8 still on the charts as well. Not too bad. One Piece will probably hit 2 mil within the next month or so. Golden Kamuy on there as well. And then the top 10, we got Shimatsu no Valkyrie, aka Record of Ragnarok in 16 days. Total 245, bringing in 43 this week. Mobile Suit Gundam Thunderbolt in 4 days. Not bad. Mobile Suit Gundam. I'd always imagine it's like a nightmare trying to draw Gundam in manga, and that's probably why they don't really do a lot of mech manga, because just imagine having the scale and all that stuff. Oh, God. But shout-outs to whoever did the... Does it say the artist? Okay, yeah, mangaka. Yasuo Otagaki. Oh, they got 3 people on that project. Yeah. Then number 6, Jujutsu Kaisen. Whoa. Okay. Pre. So, it kind of shocked me and scared me a little bit as a Jujutsu Kaisen fan. I was like, no, Gage, what are we doing debuting at number 6? But this is people selling it before the street date release. And Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 17 did 72,000 copies of people saying, yo, I got that new Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm not supposed to sell it to you, but I will. And that's why it says pre, goddamn, 72,000. So I can't even imagine right now, but big, big shouts. Then moving up, Disney Twisted Wonderland. Okay, I have no idea what the hell that is, but 90,000. Tokyo Revengers in 17 days. Oh, God, in its latest week, another 125,000, bringing it to almost 800,000 copies sold. Big, big ups to Tokyo Revengers. Hanako Bound. Okay, that's 126,000 in its first 7 days. So it had a full week, and that's pretty freaking good sales. Not bad at all. Black Butler. And number 1, Trigatsu no Lion. But wow, almost 300,000 copies, 297 in 5 days. Not bad at all. Very interesting chart this week. A lot of kind of surprises and stuff like that. Of course, they use Tokyo Revengers all over the place, but yeah, cool stuff. And those are the top 50 selling manga volumes of the week, lads. Next up, it's time for the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Starting off, Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. Fall is the season for eating, huh? I've gained 5 kilos. Yeah, not good, but I mean, I'm sure you just kicking back. I can only imagine right now. Like, yeah, he's still hard at work drawing his manga, of course, because the manga's not over yet, but woo, that influx of bread gotta be feeling good, and he deserves it, because Tokyo Revengers is freaking awesome. Then we got Hiro Mashima, author of Fairy Tail / Eden Zero. Tales of Arise is super good. It's really well made. I've been utilizing the mighty combining cup ramen technique. Okay, that's the new Tales series. Yeah, Tales of Arise. Hiro Mashima loves video games. Shoutouts to Hiro Mashima. I love seeing it, man. He's really entrenched in creating video games, playing video games, and working on multiple manga. Like, how does he do it? I don't know. He has a lot of assistants, though, he has said, so that probably helps. And we got Atsushi Okubo, author of Fire Force / Soul Eater. I got the second of the vaccinations. I'm happy to say the side effects were limited to a 38.6C fever and some languidness. At least you're healthy. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that you didn't get too sick or anything like that, because I've heard some very bad horror stories about people that got the second shot. But yeah, shout outs to Atsushi Okubo. We got George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. It was amazing to see see Kenshiro versus Yabuki. And wrapping things off, we got Nakabo Suzuki, author of Four Nights of the Apocalypse, Seven Deadly Sins as well. I'm still split on it right now, but I can say Supernatural's final episode might be the best or second best one in all the TV shows I've seen. That kind of makes sense as to certain elements of his storytelling, why he would love something like Supernatural, now that I think about it. Not that I'm too familiar with Supernatural, so let me not be, you know, judgmental or anything like that, but certain elements of his storytelling in particular, like romance aspects that were pretty prevalent in it, and romance to a certain degree is pretty prevalent in his stories. But Giles Tanaka with Suzuki, whatever makes you happy, fam, just do it up. And he makes me kind of want to check out Supernatural, so kudos to him. And those people were the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Always a joy, always a pleasure. We'll see you next time for them. Okay, people, so next up, this news really, really sucks, because Demon Slayer Season 2, for me, I've been highly anticipating continuing on. I mean, Season 1 was incredible. It was amazing. The Mugen Train film, incredible, amazing. I had such a great time watching it. It was such a good movie, great movie, all of that jazz. Now, initially, when I heard that Season 2 was going to be basically starting off with a Mugen Train readaptation, or essentially using, I want to say it's the movie, but with additional scenes. So essentially a director's cut of the film cut up into episodes is essentially what the first six, or well, the first episode is an anime original episode, and that already aired. And then the following six episodes are basically the Mugen Train with additional scenes, things like that, cut in to make it flow very nicely as an anime TV series. And again, when I first heard about it, I was like, ugh, and I'm still like, ugh. I liked the first episode. I actually had a pretty good time watching it. Essentially, it was the origin story of Rengoku's lunchbox, but nevertheless, it was a cool little episode. It was like 26 minutes, something crazy like that. So it was a little bit lengthy for a first episode, but I was like, all right, it looks good. The music was amazing. It was kind of dramatic when they were looking at his lunchbox again. I don't know what was the fascination with the lunchbox, but nevertheless, I really enjoyed it. The next six episodes are again going to be Mugen Train. However, it looks like essentially, and I want to say that this has already been kind of circulating around. However, it seems to be the case that Season 2 of Demon Slayer is only slated for 18 episodes. And out of those 18 episodes, 7 of them are dedicated to the Mugen Train. That's right, because the first episode is a prequel to Mugen Train. Then the following 6 are Mugen Train. So essentially, Season 2, if you want to continue on and you don't want to rewatch Mugen Train, you just want to go to the next stuff from the story, you have 11 episodes of this season, and then you gotta wait again. It's time to wait again. And that is just like, wow, they really did us dirty, and they really milking. Let's just take a look at the article. It says Demon Slayer Season 2 listed with 18 episodes. Streaming service IQIY is listing Demon Slayer Season 2 with 18 episodes. Season 2 of the highly anticipated anime premiered earlier today. This was again written the day that the Rengoku anime original episode aired, and screenshots was taken from the actual website that shows that episode 1 of 18 had just aired. So yeah, it's looking official that there's only going to be 18 episodes. I don't understand why they're doing all of this. I mean, I understand, because let's just keep it real, they're milking it. Like, you could say that you're happy about rewatching the Mugen Train extended with the anime. You could say all of that jazz. It doesn't change the fact that this is straight up a money play. This is all about money, and this is all about wasting our time, essentially, for money. Because at the end of the day, personally, I don't even want to rewatch the Mugen Train. Like, I like that first episode. Do I really want to rewatch Mugen Train? If I'm bored on Sundays, sure, I'll throw on the episode. Why not? If I'm bored, why the hell not, right? But that's ultimately not what I would ideally like. On top of that, Season 2 is legitimately, at the end of the day, if you don't want to rewatch stuff, only 11 episodes. 11 episodes. How we go from 24 godlike episodes to a recap in 11 episodes for Season 2. Like, this kind of reminds me of Attack on Titan. They just remixed it a bit. Remember how Attack on Titan went from 25 gorgeous episodes Season 1 to like 12 episodes Season 2? This is a remix of it in a major way of like, yeah, 18 episodes, 7 are recaps, or well, 6 are recaps, 1 is anime original, and then 11. And we don't even know what those 11, like, for all we know, it could be 10 canon episodes and 1 filler episode or something. Like, we don't know, but we know that
Yeah, 11 episodes. I'm not happy about this at all. When are we going to even finish this adaptation of Demon Slayer? Like, it looks like they're really going to try and drag it through unless there's a major drop in people being interested, which I don't see that happening at all. Demon Slayer is yet again seeming to be on pace to being at the very least top two, if not one, highest selling manga of 2021. And it ended last year. It ended last year and it's still up there and it's only being competed with by Jujutsu Kaisen that is ongoing right now and at the height of its popularity thus far. I don't understand. I get it, money, but this is not the wave, man. Milking us anime fans to keep on going, like, at this rate, you think about it, and it took them 2 years to get to this. We had Demon Slayer season 1 in 2019, now season 2 in 2021, season 3 will be 2023. Yeah. If anything, I was hoping that they would have done a lot more so that we can get this adaptation done and move forward, but hey, they know what they're doing financially, I guess, so who am I to say financial-wise, but as far as for the fans, that's not the wave, and I feel like they're taking advantage of the fact that people really love this stuff, especially over there in Japan. This is a craze, a phenomenon, so they're not going to stop, and yeah, expect, I don't even know, maybe 2025 it'll all be over, which is insane because the manga ended in 2020, but at the rate they're going, Demon Slayer won't be over, the story won't be all fully adapted until like 2025, which is disgustingly bad in terms of like they're milking it. What, why? Like, yeah, well, Ufotable, they've been having some tax issues as well. I can kind of see they're gonna go the long haul for this, so expect a long wait for each season and to get it all over with. Next up, this was really, really weird, and I'm still kind of shocked as to what the hell happened here, because apparently World's End Harem's anime has been pushed back to next year, and the pushback, the delay, happened just 24 hours till the anime's debut or the second episode. We're gonna take a look because I remember hearing people saying that they already had seen the first episode, so I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but this sounds really bad, and I have an idea what the hell happened, but yeah. According to this, it says, World's End Harem anime delayed to January 2022. The official website for the World's End Harem anime announced today that the series, originally scheduled to premiere on October 8th, will now air in January 2022. While the production committee did confirm that the first episode aired on TV in Japan as a special advance broadcast, okay, so I was right, the streaming version of the episode will not air until January. I'll be honest with you, my opinion, my theory, my hypothesis as to what the heck happened here, I'm willing to bet, because everything I've heard about World's End Harem was that it was damn near borderline hentai. And if that's the case, probably advertisers got pissed off. Somebody got upset somewhere around things, because like people think that censorship and cancel culture is not, like, you know, anime is not subject to it, and it's starting to be the case. Like, a lot of things are getting censored. It's little by little, you can see it happening, and I wouldn't be surprised if after the first episode aired on TV over there as an advanced broadcast, maybe whether it be the soccer moms over there in Japan or a committee over there, somebody got upset and they realized, holy cow, we got to go back to the drawing board, because probably there's episodes after that, maybe the second and beyond, that are even worse in terms of showing, you know, graphic nudity and all sorts of stuff, and they probably can't have that. That's my guess, that's my assumption, because why would you, just before the big debut, like literally a day before, all of a sudden say, oh no, we're pushing it back to January? Like, unless somebody accidentally deleted every freaking episode off a hard drive, which that's a possibility too. I've heard something like that happen with a Disney film or something like that. Like, if that's the case, then all right, yeah, that's a bad move, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's something to do with censorship, and there's too much nudity with that series, and advertisers are like, we don't want to put, you know, our products next to, but again, that's just my theory. Either way, World's End Harem, which I was going to check it out, you won't be able to see it until next year. Okay, people, next up, we got unfortunate news, another passing. It just seems like every show I gotta bring you guys' attention to something like this, and I do it because at the end of the day, these are important figures and they deserve to get that respect, to be able to say like, yo, they did this before they left this world, you know what I'm saying? They were somebody, they made an impact in this culture that we love. Well, apparently the Dragon Quest composer, which I want to say he's been a long time composer for the series. I'm not sure if he's done every Dragon Quest or anything like that, but I know he's been there significantly. long, and apparently he passed away recently. Let's read. Dragon Quest composer Koichi Sugiyama has passed away. Dragon Quest composer Koichi Sugiyama passed away on September 30th. Square Enix has confirmed he was 90 years old, and the cause of death was septic shock. That's a long life at 90, so that's really, really dope that he lived, you know, and he had a fruitful life. Sugiyama's work on the massively popular JRPG series is immense. He composed more than 500 songs for the franchise, with his final contribution being for the upcoming Dragon Quest. Given his involvement with Dragon Quest, Sugiyama was seen as an inspiration for many musicians in the video game arena, but his background was originally in creating music for TV shows and movies. He was named a Person of Cultural Merit by the Japanese government in 2020. The composer became something of a controversial character in his later years due to his political activism. He was involved with the promotion of Japanese nationalism and questioned the validity of reports of Japanese war crimes during World War II. We would like to express our deepest respect and gratitude for Koichi Sugiyama's achievements during his lifetime. A statement from Square Enix reads, "The funeral and farewell ceremony was held only by relatives and close relatives. Please refrain from condolences, incense, offerings, flowers, etc. due to the wishes of the bereaved family." They probably really went through it. "We are planning to hold a farewell party with everyone at a later date, but the schedule, etc. are undecided. Thank you for your understanding." And then the creator of Dragon Quest, Yuji Horii, had this to say about the news. "I'm really sorry to hear Mr. Sugiyama's sudden obituary. 35 years after making Dragon Quest, Professor Sugiyama has brought the life of music to the world. The teacher wrote a lot of really wonderful songs. Dragon Quest will continue to be with the teacher's music. The teacher would stay alive in the hearts of our users. Sugiyama Sensei, thank you very much." Akira Toriyama, in case you don't know, Akira Toriyama, the creator of the Dragon Ball series, Dr. Slump, you know, legendary. He actually was the character designer for Dragon Quest for a very long time. I think nearly the entirety of it, most of the character designs are from Toriyama. He had this to say, "I was surprised to hear the obituary of Dr. Sugiyama. From the impression I had when I met just a few years ago in a good way, I thought of it as a witch with eternal life. The image of Dragon Quest is Mr. Sugiyama, who has loved games since that time. It was determined by a number of wonderful and impressive masterpieces. It is no exaggeration to say that. It was a great honor to work with you for a long time. We pray for the soul from the bottom of my heart." RIP to this man. Condolences to his family. Definitely sounds like they're going through it. Thank you for everything in the Dragon Quest world. You know, that's one hell of a life, to say the least. So again, rest in peace. Okay, people, next up, we got a couple of pieces of Chainsaw Man news. For starters, we got some comments from the author of Chainsaw Man, Tatsuki Fujimoto. In one of his latest works, he had some author comments that gave us a little more insight into him. So I wanted to read it and take a look. It says, Tatsuki Fujimoto's end comment in 17 through 21. That's the name of his latest work, 17 through 21. "I enrolled in an art college in Yamagata when I was 17 years old. It was shortly after the Great East Japan earthquake, and I'm sure everyone was wondering if I could keep painting. I didn't see the point in continuing to paint, so I went to Ishinomaki to volunteer as a reconstruction aide, hoping to be of some assistance. On the bus on the way there, many art students and students from the physical education college were thinking the same things as me. When I first arrived in Ishinomaki, I worked to remove soil from a residential area's gutters. We spent the entire day filling bags and carrying them to the truck, but we couldn't get all of the soil out of the gutters. We felt helpless that we couldn't do anything at all, even though there were about 30 of us working all day, and we were all depressed on the bus ride home. One of the students from the physical education college who was working with us said, there was no point in us coming. After that, I returned once more to assist with the reconstruction, but I never returned again. I was doing oil painting, which cost a lot of money, so I had to draw manga to pay for it. Since I was 17, I've been haunted by this sense of helplessness. Also, every time there were a few non-sad incidents, I became more convinced that what I was doing was pointless. I recently decided it was time to let my feelings out, so I created a manga called Look Back. It's a strange thing to draw, but I feel like I've sorted out my feelings a little bit. When I look back at this short story, I remember not only drawing in a state of helplessness, but also drawing while being very hungry and practicing drawing with my friends all the time. It brought back so many pleasant memories that I wondered why I was only remembering dark things. And now I feel grateful that I had the opportunity to have this collection of short stories as well as Look Back compiled. I'm telling you this because I was opposed to publishing a collection of short stories. The reason for this is that writing the cover and these comments was a pain in the ass, but now I'm glad they did. Love Toski Fujimoto, fam. His personality is a trip. And yeah, he went through some stuff too. It's always interesting. You know, we just covered in the last episode some comments from the creator of Black Clover, Yuki Tabata, and how he went through some stuff as a child, losing his father, not knowing his father like that. And then now, you know, hearing this from Toski Fujimoto, you know, people go through real things in real life. You know, you see the glitz and glamour, like, oh, he's creating Chainsaw Man, huge anime manga, selling millions of copies. You don't know the struggle before all of that. You know, him digging soil and drawing while starving and shit like that. Like, people go through stuff. So big shout out to Toski Fujimoto, one of my favorite authors. Not just I'm a fan of Chainsaw Man, I'm a fan of him as a writer and an artist, because man is amazing. So big shout outs to him. And while we're on the topic of Fujimoto sensei, he took a big W with his Chainsaw Man manga. It says Toski Fujimoto's Chainsaw Man manga wins best manga at Harvey Awards. The Harvey Awards, which honors outstanding work in comics and sequential art, awarded Toski Fujimoto's Chainsaw Man with the best manga award on Friday. Fujimoto provided a statement for the award ceremony stating, "Thank you for the insanely awesome award. It's the best award of any awards that exist in America. I consider this crude manga of mine unbefitting of any award, but I plan to continue packing it full of all the things that I love. If you ever happen to be handing out awards again, hit me up. Thank you very much." And his manga competed against some big dogs. It competed against a Naoki Urasawa work, Asadora, Keito Gaku's Boys Run the Riot, Junji Ito's Remina, and Tatsuya Endo's Spy X Family. Do you know the competition there? Anything Naoki Urasawa puts out is some insanely, you know, regarded stuff. So you beat a Naoki Urasawa work, you beat a Spy X Family, one of the highest selling manga right now, you beat a Junji Ito work. I'm not really familiar with Keito Gaku's, but another author in the arena that you beat. Oh my god, give this man an award. Well, they did, actually. Hey. big shout outs yet again to Toski Fujimoto. And moving into our next story, because apparently Rumiko Takahashi, author of Inuyasha, she also had a ton of other works before that. My Son Ikkoku, Ranma 1/2, I think right now her latest manga is Mao, if I'm not mistaken. Like, she's had works for days. The organizers of the event inducted manga creator Rumiko Takahashi as one of 5 new members for their Hall of Fame this year, alongside Bernie Wrightson, Jeffrey Catherine Jones, Barry Windsor Smith, and Michael Kaluta. Takahashi also provided a statement about the award. "Thank you so much for this wonderful award. I am so honored the American readers have enjoyed my work through the medium of manga. I am so happy I am able to communicate with all of you. The world is in hardship due to the virus, but I hope my manga can provide some support." Big shout outs there. Really, really dope stuff, because Rumiko Takahashi, there's a certain class of mangaka, right? Like, different from what, you know, Toski Fujimoto, he's been doing his thing for a little bit now, but Rumiko Takahashi is something totally different. I put her in a class of, like, even Hiro Mashima, as much hate you have for him because of Fairy Tail, whatever, move aside that stuff. These people have been doing this for so freaking long, but Rumiko, she's probably the most consistent for the most longest run. Like, there's only a few that have had series upon series, hit after hit, and is still going. She's been doing this since like the 70s, and she's still moving. Like, big shout outs to Rumiko Takahashi. She's had a lot of sauce too. I've seen pictures of her back in the day, and she's with like a Def Jam sweater and shit. Like, shout outs to Rumiko Takahashi. Okay, people, next up, we got the top 10 selling series of the week for manga. We got One Piece rounding off at number 10 with 71,000, Blue Period at number 9 with 76,000, moving on up a little bit. We got My Hero Academia with 92,000, Jujutsu Kaisen 140,000. Ooh, just barely being bested. It would have been number 5 if it wasn't for Toilet Bound Hanako-kun going at 141. So just like about 1,000, like 1.1 more. So shout outs to Toilet Bound. Then we got Black Butler. Wow, Black Butler's still selling numbers, 200,000. Kimetsu no Yaiba, 346, and that's only going to go up. We just had season 2 start. I can imagine within the next few weeks, the volume sales are going to start coming up again. March comes in like a lion, 359. And number 1, Tokyo Revengers with 638,000. 1,000 this week yet again. The anime ended a couple of weeks ago now, and it's still going strong. 638,000. I'm looking forward to seeing what these numbers are like in 2 months. Like, is it still going to be going crazy like this? Like, this is pretty freaking big. But shout outs to all 10 of these. I'm familiar with all of them except number 8, Disney Twisted Wonderland, the comic episode of Heart's Labu. I have no idea what that is. And it's from Square Enix, so it sounds about right to be that title and all that. Next up, some great freaking news, because when Jump Festa was announced, they announced a few of the stages, and well, the super stages, and I don't know what's the difference between like a regular stage and a super stage. Maybe the super stage, like, is because, you know, it's a physical thing in person as well. Maybe it's like a bigger, grander stage, like more stuff all around, you know, maybe more monitors showcasing things. Maybe that's what it is, and maybe like there's supposed to be bigger news. But either way, they didn't announce Black Clover and a few other series, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, how can you not, considering Black Clover has a movie in the works? Like, how are you ignoring it? But according to this, Jump Festa 2022 has now revealed new stages for more series, one of which being the first one they announced, Black Clover. Yes, people, oh god, please give us, even if it's a 15 second teaser of what this film is going to look like, what it's going to be about. Come on, man, it's been since March we've had anything Black Clover anime related. I'm ready, okay? I'm ready. Word of SpongeBob. Then we also got a stage for Undead Unluck. That's pretty dope. I'm imagining this could be where the anime is going to be announced, so I'm interested to see what that's like. We got Marshall as well. That could very well also be where Marshall's anime is announced, because they came out around like the same time, and they have roughly, I think, no, I'm lying. I think Undead Unluck has like about maybe 10 more chapters or something, or maybe I'm totally off. They're like really, really close though, and yeah, I could see both of them getting their anime announced at this stage. We got Ayakashi Triangle. He also did the Two Love Rue series. We got Haikyuu there. Maybe another season is going to be announced. I think it needs one more season to kind of adapt all of the material, if I'm not mistaken. And then another One Piece panel. One Piece is Knowledge King. So that's probably just something for the people over there at the actual festival, so they could like take a quiz or something like that. But the ones that I'm looking forward to the most, to be honest with you, is definitely Black Clover, Undead Unluck, and Marshall. Like, Haikyuu, I hope that you guys get your final season, but I really want to see more about the Black Clover movie. And you never know, maybe the anime returning. A man can wish, right? Yeah. Undead Unluck and Marshall, I'm expecting anime announcements. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but they're both at the point where, yeah, you could get the anime announced and then premiere them around like summertime or something like that. We'll see though, because you never freaking know. But yeah, either way, I'm glad Black Clover is there. I know I'm like putting it above all the other ones, but I was so bummed that there was no Black Clover stage, because it really felt like, goddamn, Jump, you know, there's a movie still, you know, don't freaking completely throw in the towel on our boy just yet, you know what I'm saying? And I want this movie to do very well. I want this to be successful, so maybe we can get the anime return a lot sooner than a decade after, like what Studio Pierrot did with Bleach. You know what I'm saying? I want this movie to do well, so I'm glad that we got the stage, and hopefully we get a big Black Clover movie trailer. I want to see what the hoopla is going to be about, and yeah, I'm going to stand the living crap out of it as long as it's good. If it's bad, I ain't going to lie. We're going to go in as well. Like, just keeping it real. I'm very honest with it, so we'll see. But Black Clover stage, Undead Unluck stage, Marshall stage, a whole bunch of others. Let's go. Jump Festa 2022. Can't freaking wait. Well, fans of Wit Studio anime, like Attack on Titan's first 3 seasons, Vinland Saga, they've done some really, really highly regarded stuff. It looks like they're not doing very well. There's a couple of things that I'm looking at it like, well, you've had some big projects, but then you also lost some big projects as well. And could this be the aftermath of that? Or was they already losing money at this point? Because according to this, it says Wit Studio reports a loss of 501 million yen. $4.5 million during the last fiscal year. The titles Wit is currently working on don't scream moneymakers either. The Girl on the Other Side, Grimm, Moonrise, Vampire in the Garden, Osama Ranking. And yeah, it's a shame because they're a really great studio. And then it says even here, Wit Studio is reportedly 886 million yen in debt and IG Port to step in and managing the studio. The former studio that produced such hits as the first 3 seasons of Attack on Titan and The Ancient Magus Bride is apparently not doing well financially, according to a report from Japanese industry-focused website Gombies. According to the report, Wit Studio had 40.3% decline in revenue over the last fiscal year from June 2020 to May 31st, 2021, losing 501 million yen. This has reportedly sparked worries in the parent company, IG, who have taken it upon themselves to start manage the studio from a business perspective. The report states that overall sales for WIT declined to 1.2 billion yen, $11 million, down 40.3% from last year, with a reoccurring loss of 486 million yen, again, $4 million. At a bottom line loss of $4.4 million, and this is a stark contrast to a year before where the studio only lost $173 million, $1.5 million. The studio is reported to have widened its deficit to $7.7 million. Ouch. Due to these issues, IG Port is said to have stepped in. When were they called IG Port? Weren't they just called Production IG? Okay. A very uncommon move for the parent company, who usually leaves its subsidiary studios alone and implemented a subsidiary management project. The parent company will be working with the administration of WIT Studio to try and implement measures to return the studio to profitability and decrease its deficits and excess liabilities. WIT Studio only released The Great Pretender on Netflix during this time and was halfway through broadcast of Vivi Fluorite Eyes song. They did a great job on that one. That one looked gorgeous. Though it is not known if any of the past works that WIT Studio had in hand in or in any future works that are currently in production contributed to the loss. And I'll be honest with you, it's weird. Like, I would really have to sit down to have a really concrete theory as to what the heck happened here. Because why would they lose or give up Attack on Titan when, you know, it's supposed to be a moneymaker, right? So Attack on Titan gone, Vinland Saga, they gave it up, right? So, and another company is working on it, and they're gone from that. Why would you give up those things if they were moneymakers? Maybe they were even losing money on those as well. Like, don't think just because something is very big and the manga sells very well that the anime production companies are profiting off of it. It could have been that they were taking losses and that's why they got rid of them. And maybe they got some smaller IPs that they're probably going to get better splits because, like, hey, you're WIT Studio. If you could blow my stuff up, you know, it'll be great. We'll split the profits 50-50, opposed to Attack on Titan. By season four, they probably were told, like, you know, Kodansha's like, hey, you know, we do a 10, like, depending on how the financial structure is over there to begin with. Because again, if, you know, you're doing bad, right? Why would you get rid of these properties unless they were also contributing to y'all losing money, or you just couldn't financially support making those series anymore? So definitely some interesting stuff there. Very unfortunate stuff at that. Of WIT Studio, they're doing very bad. They're in the hole almost $8 million, and last year alone they lost 4.5. I'm not sure what the answer would be, but I'm glad Production IG is coming in to save them, because yeah, that's not good. And Studio WIT is one of the powerhouses, and very, very talented staff work at Studio WIT. It would be a shame to lose them. Not to mention, if they were a part of Vivi, or they were creating Vivi, that shit looked gorgeous. But yeah, best wishes to WIT Studio. I hope they can get it together. I don't want to see them go, you know what I'm saying? Moving forward, so just wanted to recap real quickly in case you missed it a few days ago now. I had talked about the latest announced Dragon Ball films trailer. A new trailer recently came out, and yeah, the movie, it's coming out in 2022, which I'm guessing probably summer or fall of 2022 at the earliest. But based on the trailer, it's a full CGI Dragon Ball film, and I've noticed that the fandom is split, because there's actually a lot of people that are supporting this and actually think that it looks dope. Then there's another side of things of people that they don't particularly care for the CGI. I'm on the side of I don't care for the CGI, and I would hate for this to actually be successful and take out the 2D animation's future, because that's really where a lot of these anime studios want to go. They want to go the more cheaper route of making CG, 3D CG a thing, and I would hate for that to happen. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't want a Dragon Ball product ever to fail. Like, I don't want any anime to fail. Let's be clear about that. I never want to root for something's downfall, and if I do, it's in a joking manner, but I never really want to see, because people lose their jobs behind this stuff. That's not what I'm saying when I say I don't want to see this win. But in terms of the after effects of this wins right here, there's a high probability that when the Dragon Ball Super anime returns, it's going to return in CG 3D, because CGI is an investment. You know, you spend all the money now to make all of the character models. Like, they could even make all the way up to the latest arc, Granola's character designs in 3D, and then for years to come, they don't got to worry about making new character models or anything like that. They just could use the character models and then just maneuver them around. It's way cheaper, way more easier and efficient, but doesn't look like how we go from Dragon Ball Super Broly, arguably one of the best looks the Dragon Ball franchise has had in several years, to that. And that was my big gripe. But I do see the point of some people saying that, hey, it's a lot better. We've come a long way from the days of that well, X-Armed, even though that's more recent of a title, but like, you know, stuff looking like X-Armed when CG was that bad commonly. It's not as bad as anything like that, but I'm gonna be a 2D fanboy all day when it comes to animation, and yeah, I don't want to see my favorite style go away because it's cheaper to make this crap. No. Okay, people, next up, Yashahime Princess Half Demon just made a major splash. In case you don't know, Yashahime Princess, the sequel spinoff anime to the Inuyasha series, is, you know, and it's about like the kids and whatnot. Season 2 just recently debuted, and it did a massive debut because with its premiere episode, it did a 3.9 rating, outdoing One Piece, which a lot of people get offended when I say that. I mean that in terms of like, One Piece is a bar for me, okay? One Piece is a standard for me. If you can outdo that, you've done something incredible, because One Piece is incredible. Its placement 20-something years later is incredible. So never take it as if I'm trying to slight One Piece. I'm trying to show like, yo, this series, if it's competing in the realm of a god like One Piece, it's doing great. And I feel like I always have to explain that, but people always take these things the wrong way. Like, why are you shitting on One Piece? I'm not. One Piece, I love One Piece. I'm so happy of One Piece still doing great. It's just that this is very, very impressive, especially for a series that I didn't expect for it to do anything close to this. Like, I knew Inuyasha was popular and stuff like that, but to see Yashahime doing almost 4.0, pretty much 0.4 more than One Piece, that is very, very impressive, especially for a season 2 debut. I'm curious to see what the ratings are going to be like moving forward, if it's going to continue in that vein or how's it going to go. But shout outs to Yashahime Princess Half Demon, definitely has a big fan base over there in Japan. Okay, people, next up, big news for One Piece. Very, very big stuff that, you know, not many series will be able to say they've reached this type of plateau, where apparently there's a statue of Robin. One Piece resident archaeologist Nico Robin gets statue at Kumamoto Earthquake Museum. The little village town of Minamiaso in Kumamoto has now got its own permanent Straw Hat resident. Today, the latest One Piece statue was unveiled at the former site of the Tokai University Aso campus, which was heavily damaged in the Kumamoto earthquake in 2016. The campus has been renovated as the Kumamoto Earthquake Museum, making it a worthy home to the archaeologist of the Straw Hat crew, Nico Robin. The new museum was built to help pass on the history, lessons, and warnings about earthquakes in the region and beyond. In 2016, the southern Japanese prefecture of Kumamoto was hit by a 7.0 magnitude earthquake, decimating the local towns and cities, killing 50 people. Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece and a Kumamoto City native, donated 800 million yen, about $7.5 million. Wow. Wow, I did not know Oda did something like that. You donated almost $8 million. Wow, legendary man, bro. To recovery efforts, 500 million in Luffy's name, or 500 million yen, you know, $4.7 million in Luffy's name, and 300 million yen, $2.8 million in his own. So, yo, just hold on. No. Eiichiro Oda, living legend. Legend breathing right now. Like, yo, mangaka donating almost $8 million because his native hometown was destroyed. Like, hold on. I like to look at it from an objective standpoint of, let's just say this was a combination of Shueisha helping out as well. I'm betting, if that is the case, because some people will say like, yo, it probably wasn't only Oda's money or whatever, I'm betting that 2.8 million was definitely under his name, because it said 4 point something under Luffy's name and 2.8 under his name. Probably the 4 point something was under, if that's the case, Shueisha's name, or Shueisha was the one that put that money up, and Oda still $3 million. Either way, you giving millions of mangaka when y'all get pennies off the dollar and shit. I know he's a very legendary and very accomplished author, but still, to be donating that type of money, legend. Very much so, respect to Eiichiro Oda. That is really, really dope. Okay, people, next up, just a little bit of My Hero Academia news. Small, but I thought it was pretty cool. My Hero Academia will be getting the cover in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 46, but it's a little interesting because meanwhile, me and Roboco will be getting the lead color page in that same issue. And normally, they give the cover and color page to the same series. Like, that's normally the case. Like, if One Piece has the cover, it also gets the lead color page. Lately, they've been changing that, though, and it says, for those confused, this is a similar situation to what happened happened in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 49 during 2020, in which the cover went to Black Clover and the lead color page went to Chainsaw Man. So seems like as of late, especially the last few years, Shonen Jump, Shueisha in general, the manga and anime industry have become a little less conventional as they've been in the past. Like now they're actually doing things a little bit well. Just because it has the cover doesn't mean the other series, you know what I'm saying? So either way, still really dope stuff that My Hero is getting the cover. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the latest cover was of One Piece and it looked really badass. Ranger Reject fans, there was a few people that was hitting me up about this one because I reported a few months ago now, I want to say, that Ranger Reject was going to be going on hiatus from the author. And yeah, apparently it's returning. It says Ranger Reject will resume in issue 47 of Weekly Shonen Magazine on the 20th of October. I've heard some interesting things about this one, that it's like a reverse Power Rangers type of series in a way, but in a good way, not Power Rangers like the corny way you think of it in your childhood. So I actually want to check it out. I'm going to probably give it, at the very least, the first chapter a go, see if I like it, whatever. But yeah, for Ranger Reject fans, a few of you out there, there's a return coming in, which I know a lot of people were bummed about it. There you go. And just something quickly I wanted to throw in this segment, just a colored cover page for the first anniversary of Akira Amano, aka the author of Kitekyo Hitman Reborn's latest series, Ron Kamonohashi, which I want to say is like Detective Ron or something like that. It's commemorating its first anniversary in Shonen Jump Plus's app, and this is a color page, and that's crazy how time flies. Like, I remember reporting on, oh, it's about to come out, and it's already been a year since Akira Amano's latest series is out. And yeah, I always appreciate her art, especially her faces, like right there, that looks straight up like Tsuna Yoshisawada from Kitekyo Hitman Reborn. And then the other character looks like Mukuro in a way. So yeah, just dope stuff there. I really got to get back into it. I think I read chapter one, if I'm not mistaken, and it was kind of interesting. I want to get back though and see what Akira Amano has been doing all this time. Okay, people, I come bearing bad news for Fire Force fans. Y'all know for quite some time it's been said that it's in its last leg, so to speak. Fire Force, I reported that probably over a year ago now, that Fire Force was, the author was trying to end it sooner rather than later. Well, according to this, it says, Fire Force by Atsushi Okubo is entering its final arc in the upcoming Weekly Shonen Magazine issue 46 next week, and the series has been in its final phase for a while now, so it's entering its final arc. So just imagine, like, the fourth Great Shinobi War being, like, the final, like, phase, so to speak, and then, like, the last, the Kaguya stuff being the final arc, so to speak. So that's probably what it is. I'm guessing it might make it out of 2021. It absolutely, more than likely, won't make it out of 2022. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but probably enjoy Fire Force now. A year from now, it'd probably be gone already. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. But either way, big ups to Fire Force. And it's crazy because I remember reading as well that Atsushi Okubo said, after Fire Force, I'm done. I don't want to do manga no more. This would be a good time, though, to get back into the Fire Force anime because I'm imagining they're probably going to do a season 3 at some point. And yeah, I want to see how this all turns out because I really enjoyed what I saw of season 1. I think I was like a few episodes shy of finishing the first season. But Fire Force fans, final arc. Okay, next up, something I wanted to report on because I was really excited about it. I'm not getting paid by any company, Viz, or anything like that. Viz, you should cut the check. I'm just saying. Y'all know what's up. Anyway, a big announcement came over the weekend at New York Comic Con for like a bunch of different stuff that Viz got, and one of which being, and a few which being, we're going to talk about a lot of them, but the new series of Naruto novels in which Naruto's allies and enemy take center stage and a fast-paced adventure begins releasing summer 2022 with Naruto Kakashi's story, The Sixth Hokage, and The Failed Prince. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm excited to read all of them. I think these are the novels where especially the one with Sakura and Sasuke on it, I want to say that's the one where Naruto's like dying of an illness and they got to figure out how to get him back on track and how to fix him, so to speak, how to get him well again. I've been excited to read these novels for a while. Even though I'm terrible at reading novels, I take forever to get through them. These ones in particular have caught my interest because, like, this is big stuff, you know, sick Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura being on a mission together, and then the other one with, I don't know why, Naruto and Orochimaru together, so that's kind of interesting to find out. But yeah, so Viz got the Naruto novels. You'll be able to pick them up starting summer 2022. And then they also got the Death Note one shot, which I want to say is also a bunch of short stories in there as well. It says, Kira's story is over, but the Death Note is not. This imaginative complete collection of short stories by the series creators explores the impact and influence of the legendary Death Note, releasing summer 2022. So I'm wondering, is it just going to be the one shot, or is it going to be more than that? Is it going to be, because I know there was some unreleased stuff, like the very first one shot that they had that, you know, wasn't actually connected to Death Note. Like, are they going to republish that, or is it new stuff, including including with that one shot. Either way, the cover looks awesome, and I absolutely have to have this. I've owned Death Note for, I don't even know, like over 10 years now. I remember it was like some dude was selling it on Craigslist for like $15 every volume, and I was like, I think I will. And now I gotta add this to my collection. This also got the Promised Neverland art book world, a beautiful and haunting gaze into one of today's most popular shonen series, again releasing summer 2022. I might buy for my niece. My niece really likes collecting Promised Neverland manga. I'm kind of a little sour too. Well, let me not take it out on the manga. The manga was dope. It was the anime's fault. Yeah, yeah. Y'all remember, it was like a year ago I started reporting on this rooster manga about a superhero rooster. Well, they got that. Rooster Fighter, giant demonic monsters wreak havoc and level Japanese cities while the citizens flee in terror. Is up to one brave rooster to stand his ground. I actually really want to get into this one. Like, I remember reading a little bit of the first chapter and being like, this is crazy. Who thought of this? And I think, like, it's been pretty successful to the point where it's being extended further than what they originally thought. So, yeah, Rooster Hero, Deku as a rooster, let's go. No, All Might as a rooster, let's go. And yeah, People Viz got some pretty good stuff. Oh, they also got the Yashihime manga, which is kind of crazy because they just started serializing that, but apparently that's coming in summer 2022. The hit anime series returns in manga form. The daughters of Inuyasha and Shomaru set out on a journey transcending time in Yashihime Princess Half Demon Volume 1. I'm imagining they probably already have a good chunk of chapters already, like, written out or something, because again, they just announced this, and how is it already coming over here, where plenty of other stuff, they take 100 years to bring it over here, but it's probably also a high seller and stuff, so there's that as well. Either way, Yashihime manga, if you collect the Inuyasha manga, this might be something you want to add to your collection. And yeah, that's pretty much almost everything Viz got. I think they got like a digital version of Witch Watch if you're interested, but Viz, cut the check. Next up, we got the Shonen Jump author comment. Starting off, we got Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece. The season for Odin is upon us. Gonna buy a ton of beef tendon from a restaurant supplier and simmer it up. Why you gotta do this to us, Oda? Really? The season of Odin? Like, I know Odin is a food, like... Let's boil it up, baby. We got Hajime Komoto, author of Marshall. The McDonald's teriyaki burger has lettuce in it, so it's healthy. Okay, we're going to go with that logic. There's a little strand of lettuce in this big chocolate cake. It must be the healthiest thing in the world. Ha, Hajime Komoto. Yo, he clown and so on. Boichi, the artist of Dr. Stone. There's other side stories besides Byakuya's that I like to draw, like Francis's cooking story. Okay, or Frankose's. I don't know how to pronounce that name. Kohei Horikoshi, My Hero Academia. I'm so glad we got to make season 5 and the movie. Now season 6. I'm looking forward to Mirko, and I'm sure there's a movie along the way as well. And I am very excited for Mirko, okay? But please, for the love of God, because there's going to be heroes surrounding it, I'm a little bit more confident that they're not going to botch season 6, because season 6 is, till this point, still the best arc of all of My Hero. Like, My Villain Academia was number 2. This is supposed to be number 1. Please, please, Studio Bones, don't ruin it. But yeah, shout outs to Horikoshi living out his dreams, man. We got Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. I went to sleep with Moderna arm, and my daughter climbed on top of me and made me cry out. Loving moments, fam. Like, yeah, right after I press end on this video, my daughter's gonna bust in that door. Like, y'all know how that outro, my outro is. That's literally real life. Like, that's what happens when I press off on this camera. Is Daddy, are you done? Boom. We got Yuto Suzuki, author of Sakamoto Days. I have stink bugs entering my house. It's mysterious because I can't find any openings they could be using to sneak in. Yes, I'm so ready. That's one of the only positives of like cold weather, like bugs start to go away. Like, please, bugs, leave me alone. And lastly, coming at the bottom again, Yuki Kawaguchi, author of The Hunter's Guild Red Hood. Bonkers is 23, Poor is 25, Miguel and Nulo are 26, and Mario is the oldest at 34. And yeah, again, not a good sign at all that Red Hood is ranked at the bottom. It's probably gonna get canceled. I hope to God they let it rock. I hope to God it's a Demon Slayer case where they're like, okay, you know, the audience right now, they ain't gonna rock with it. Because again, Demon Slayer, they weren't rocking with it for a while. Demon Slayer wasn't doing the greatest rankings-wise for a long time. And then look at it. So maybe, please give it the grace period. The West really likes it. Come on, Jump. Don't do this to Yuki Kawaguchi. I believe in you, fam. Get to the guild already, though. I'm just saying, we're taking a little bit of a sweet time to get there, considering, like, rankings aren't doing the most amazing. But yes, people, those are the weekly Shonen Jump author comments. Wanted to take a look at this. This is the character design reveal for Suguru Geto from the Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie. And I ain't gonna lie, I like his design. He looks definitely a bit significantly different than how he looks in the Jujutsu Kaisen anime. Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, he looks a little bit like, a little more lively, honestly, in the face, a little bit more of a vicious expression, so to speak. And yeah, I really like his design. I honestly like his design here more than the Jujutsu Kaisen actual anime. It says Jujutsu Kaisen Zero anime, Suguru Geto Key Visual. The anime film is set for December 24th in Japan, and I can't wait. I wish that it was simultaneously released because I want to watch this movie so bad. I love Jujutsu Kaisen. I stand Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm gonna shut up now. Okay, people, big news. No, it's not big news at all. It's very disappointing. Hunter x Hunter unveils 10th anniversary visual. Action-adventure anime series by Madhouse aired 148 episodes between fall 2011 and summer 2014. And here's the visual, and it's disappointing. And when I got the notification for this, I was devastated because I clicked on it. Like, all I saw was Hunter x Hunter in capital letters. And when I saw it, I was absolutely devastated. Like, holy cow, yo. Togashi. Why Togashi? Why? I mean, hey, it's a cool little image, but whatever. Like, yeah. Hunter x Hunter. Yeah. And lastly, people, something interesting to note. Apparently, Mushoku Tensei's latest season was delayed by a week, quote-unquote, due to animators competing. It says, Mushoku Tensei production was delayed 1 week because the animators were fighting about who gets to animate Kirishika. An animator shared this fun story on his Twitter account. Okay, if the animator shared it, I could see that actually being the case, unless, like, the studio was like, yo, you better tweet this out. But maybe they were all, like, having a good time. Like, oh, I could do this. And the studio was like, I don't know, will they really, for them having a good time? I don't know, maybe it could be like the directors were the ones arguing like, no, I'm gonna do this, I'm the best at this. So maybe that's the case, I don't know. But either way, Mushoku Tensei is currently airing now. I think the latest episode just dropped, and yeah, I need to get on it. I'm like behind on that and one other series, but yeah, I'm gonna jump on them because they just started. And yeah, people, those are all the stories we have for today's episode. I'm very curious what you guys think. The most interesting story, the stories that catch your interest, the stories that keep you coming back to Forever News, let me know. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching, hope you enjoyed. If you liked anything I had to say or enjoyed the video, drop me a like, I'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want more from me, make sure to subscribe, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, hit that bell to get all notifications. And if you want to follow any of my other social media, links are in the description below. I'm Forever World, and as always, people, have an awesome day,
and remember the golden rule:
anime and manga
for life. Bye.
Have an awesome day, peace in it. You guys just watched another episode of
Forever News.
Have an awesome day.